Over the past few weeks, we've been engaged in this series of messages entitled Teach Us to Pray. That came out of the day when one of the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, we've been watching you and we know that you are just have this amazing prayer life with God. And we want to have that kind of prayer intimacy, that kind of prayer life with God. So can you teach us to pray? And Jesus said, nah. No, he didn't say that. He said, yes, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to come to me and ask those questions, seek those answers to the important things of life. So yes, I will teach you how to pray. And so we've been looking at this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And you know, as Jesus was teaching them this new prayer, this new way of praying, he was giving them a whole new perspective on what prayer to God was all about. And this prayer, he talks about this prayer is a close relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, this is the perspective, the new perspective that he gave to them as he taught them this prayer. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A whole different perspective on prayer. You know, with this prayer, Jesus was introducing his disciples to the God they could know. I think that's, what really stands out for me as, the last couple of weeks as I've been reflecting on what we've been teaching. And this is the key thing, that Jesus is introducing his disciples to the God they can know, who they can get to know up close and personal. When you pray, say, Father. Father. Everybody has a father, right? Every human being has a father. And we all know what it is to be in a relationship with our father. So he's saying, this is the kind of relationship that you can have with God. This new perspective. But then as he begins to unfold this prayer, with this new perspective comes a new challenge. Right? This new challenge is to recognize and overcome the barriers that hinder our relationship with the Father. Our perception of who God is as Father, because we all have fathers, and our fathers have not always been the greatest examples, right? But God is not an earthly Father. God is our heavenly Father. So we have to deal with our perspective relating to our fathers if we're going to be able to clear all that stuff out and understand who God is as our Heavenly Father. And then as we saw last week, we also have to overcome some of the inner barriers that we have, the inner landscape of our life. Because we've all got all kinds of things that, cause us to really partition off our lives and hide behind things and we went through all that last week and a lot of that if we're going to be able to overcome the barriers that are inside of us, we have to be willing to submit our will to God's will. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Part of the prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Submitting our will to God's will. And with a new perspective, there comes a new challenge and a whole new focus. a focus on a Father to be worshipped and adored, a Heavenly Father like no other God, a Holy Father, perfect in all His ways, a Sovereign Father who is ruler over all things. This is what Jesus was just reminding His disciples. And then we come to this next part of the prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And what was Jesus, as he starts to move into this part of the prayer, what is he trying to get across to the disciples? This new perspective on God? Well, he is the Father who can be trusted to look after the needs of his children. Amen? Who wouldn't want to have a father like that who looks after the needs of his children, intimately cares for them? You know, and isn't that the, you know, what is so needed today with earthly fathers? You know, we all would love to have a father who can be trusted to look after the needs of his children, look after our needs, a dad who does that for us, who can be trusted. You know, it comes down to this whole need that we have. One of the basic human needs that we all have is that need for security and confidence in life. And where does that come from? You know, in terms of our earthly relationships, it comes from the relationship that we have with our Father, our earthly fathers. You know, and you know, there's a recent study that's been done in Australia, and it's brought about a whole program that is, you know, being put out for fathers, and it's called the Fathering Program. Of course, you know, fathering program, emphasizing the need for effective fathering in the life of children and adolescents. And one of the things that in that study, it says that much of the research on fathering has focused on its implications for child and adolescent mental health, with compelling evidence that fathering has significant protective and positive effects on the mental health of children across various ages and stages of development. You know, the research is out there. The research is out there that, you know, a nurturing, caring father in a home will provide security and stability for these children as they grow. You know, some of the key factors that this study found around fathering were these. I'm not going to say all of them, but fathers have a crucial impact on a child's development. Fathers' self-efficacy and warmth in parenting are the most powerful predictors of children's improved health, academic, social, and emotional outcomes. Another one, children who have a father or father figure live with them throughout their life have a better learning outcome, general health, emotional well-being, and fewer problem behaviors. And then the last one I'll highlight is that fathers who consistently parent well over time have children who perform better academically, socially, emotionally, and enjoy better health and development. You know, the research is out there that fathering, fatherhood makes a difference in a child's life. A nurturing father provides a safe environment for security and confidence to grow in his children. And should we be surprised by that in terms of the research findings with earthly fathers? Well, no, because you know what? We have a Heavenly Father who has modeled that for us. We have a heavenly Father who can be trusted to look after the needs of his children. There is security in a relationship with our heavenly Father. You know, our earthly fathers may fail us, but our heavenly Father will never fail us. Will always look after our needs and care for us. And how has the Father, how has our heavenly Father demonstrated his great love for us? His care for us, his desire for the very best for us? Well, it's all found in Jesus. It's all found in Jesus. For God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world to show us the Father heart of God. Through Jesus, we see our Heavenly Father up close and personal. Up close and personal. You know, that God, you know, what's really amazing is that God the Father, he stepped out of time, or out of eternity, into time. This is hard for us to comprehend, okay? That our Father in heaven would, the creator of all things, the most awesome, amazing being that ever could ever imagine, stepped out of eternity into time. And he took on the nature and likeness of a man. And we call that man the Son of God, Jesus. Because we cannot fully comprehend how God could become a man and walk among us. So we say, well, he is the Son of God. He took on the nature of a man. He did all this so that we could put a face to what God the Father was really like. And where do we find this? We find this in the scriptures in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Because we want to anchor everything that I'm saying this morning into God's word so that we, you know, this is not just me making this up. This is not me just saying to you that this is what I think happened. No, this is what the scriptures tell us. This is what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write down and to give us as an understanding of who Jesus was. So Philippians 2, 6 to 11 says, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You get that? To the glory of God the Father. This was all according to God's purpose, God's prescription. He came down from heaven and revealed himself in Jesus, so that we could see the glory of the Father. The Father. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it further emphasizes this. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Amen. Yeah. See, there's a relationship between God the Father, God the Son. If you've seen the Father, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And what is the Father given the Son to do? Well, to sustain all things, to provide for all things according to his powerful word. And we see this even more in John chapter 10, verses 14 to 15 and 27 to 30, where Jesus, okay, those other words were testimonies about Jesus, but these are Jesus' own words now, okay, about his relationship with the Father. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. For I and the Father are one." Okay? You know, we're keeping this in the context of our Father is the one who provides us with security and confidence for living. Right? What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, "I know my sheep. They follow me, and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hands." Wow, that's security. Security. I and the Father are one. And you know, when Jesus had said this, the disciples had some questions, and Jesus answered their questions. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And then Philip said to Jesus, he said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." You know, they really wanted to really know the Father. They really wanted to know that, you know, the closeness, the security of God, the Father in their life. And he said, "Show us the Father." And then Jesus answered, he said, "Do you not know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? For anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. For I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." You know, again, let's keep it in the context here. All these things that, you know, all these passages of Scripture that I brought out today are just to remind us that we have a Father in heaven, who can be trusted to look after the needs of his children. And it is through Jesus that we see our Heavenly Father up close and personal. It's through Jesus that we have confidence to approach the Father for all that we need each day. See, that's part and parcel of who Jesus is to us. He and the Father are one. So if we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. And so Jesus says to his disciples, "If you have confidence in me and confidence in the Father, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it for you. I will do it." Confidence. To trust the Father knows what we need. So here's where this part of the prayer comes in this week. You know, when Jesus says, "When you pray, say, 'Father,' Give us each day our daily bread. It's why. How can we say that? Well, it's because we have confidence that we have a Father who will care for the needs of His children and has already provided for all that we need for life and godliness through who?
Jesus.
And so if we have a relationship with Jesus and we see in Jesus the Father, then we have confidence to be able to ask God for what we need each and every day. For within the security of our relationship with the Father and the Son, we can confidently ask for and know that our daily needs will be met. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? You know, our Father in heaven is the source of all that we need to sustain us each day. Sometimes we have a hard time believing that when we go through difficulties or we go through struggles or we go through challenging times, we have a hard time believing that, but it is true. It is true. God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That little song that we used to sing, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. If you know it, sing along. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. He gives His angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Isn't that an amen? Amen. Not just because of the singing, but hey, because of the song. Because it reminds us of Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He's promised that. He's promised to provide everything we need for life and for godliness. And here's the thing. He has a perfect track record of being able to do that with His people. I'm not going to go back to all the times in the Old Testament, but just one back in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 34. You know the story when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt into the promised land. They had to go through the desert. Oh. And they went through the desert for 40 years because of their rebellion, their hardness of hearts. The people grumbled and they complained because of the lack of food. Oh, you brought us out into this desert and all we can see is rocks and sand. And you know, they grumbled and complained. Why? Because the years of bondage conditioned them to believe that they had to rely on their own efforts for their daily provision. And when they got out into the desert, there's nothing out here. Nothing out here for us to eat. Nothing out here for us to drink. And so what did God do? God provided miraculously for His people. He fed them in the desert for 40 years on manna and quail. You know, he gave them a little bit of a choice, you know, every once in a while. Because, you know, manna burgers and manna soup and manna sandwiches, you know, they just didn't cut it all the time. So he had to add a little bit of meat, you know, to the manna. But the interesting thing was, he provided just enough every day to feed everyone in the wilderness. Not too much, not too little. Just enough, their daily bread, their daily provision. Every day, 40 years in the desert, He fed His people, cared for them. Now, what about the New Testament? Well, if we look in the New Testament in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, what we see is we see Jesus' mission statement. Okay? We're going to focus on Jesus. You know, He went into the desert for 40 days. And he fasted for 40 days and then when he came out of the desert, he came and he preached it in the synagogue at Capernaum and he pulled out the scroll of Isaiah and he said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know, this was Jesus' mission priority. And he fulfilled his mission by what? Caring for people's everyday needs. You know, again, if you've seen me, Jesus says, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is acting on behalf of the Father, and he's laying out this mission that he has, and he says, I'm going to care for your needs. I'm going to care for your everyday needs. And you know, when he went to the wedding feast in Cana in Galilee, they ran out of wine at the wedding. And so what did Jesus do? He turned water to wine. Provided them with the best wine for the feast. When he was teaching to the multitudes out, you know, the 5,000 out in the Judean countryside, the people were hungry. So what did he do? 5 loaves, 3 fishes. Hey, here we go. We're going to feed a whole multitude. And then when Jesus says, you know, to people, you know, if you're weary and if you're overwhelmed by life, it says, come to me all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give rest for your souls. Everyday needs. And then he gives these beautiful words of reassurance in Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 to 34 for those who are prone to worry about the needs of life. How many of you would be say you're prone to worry? Worry about everyday things, right? How am I gonna make ends meet? Well, Jesus has a word for us today about that. He says this in Matthew 6:25. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I'd really encourage you just to, later on today or sometime, just take that passage of Scripture and just meditate on it, reflect on it. There's so much in there for us to remember. But the one thing that really stands out for me about that passage is that our Father knows our every need. Did you catch that from the one bear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows. God knows our every need. And Jesus says, consider these things. He says, you know, the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, God feeds them and clothes them faithfully. He looks after nature. He looks after everything in nature. How much more valuable are we to God than birds and flowers? You know, these are the questions that he asks. Consider it. How much more valuable are we to God? You know, food and drink, clothing. You need all those things? Well, the pagans, he says, run after all these things. You know, people, you know, who have their heart set on all kinds of material things, they just run after them. They just want more and more and more and more. But remember this, he says, your Father, your Heavenly Father, knows what you need. So keep your focus in the right place. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. The promise of provision. The antidote for not worrying about things in life, are those things in life, but trusting God, putting the focus where the Father can provide for us. And so when you pray, pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Oh Lord, give me today, provide for me today what is needful for today. And you know, there's, you know what, because we have a Father who knows our every need, we need not worry about anything. That's a challenge. I remember back in Bible college when I was going through Bible college, and that's 40 some odd years ago now, but I remember one of the upperclassmen in one of the chapels that we had made this statement in a message that he was presenting on Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And this statement has stuck with me. I don't know why. It's just, I wrote it down in my Bible, and because it really stuck with me. He said, you know, the best way to worry about nothing is to pray about everything. To pray about everything. Just get in touch with God about everything. You need something today? Get in touch with God. Pray about it. And Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that comforting to know that when we pray with thanksgiving for all the circumstances of our life, in the midst of everything, that God, we can have confidence to know that we know a God who will provide for our every need. And by teaching us to pray, give us each day our daily bread, Jesus reminds us that no amount of human effort or worry will provide for our needs. It is only our Heavenly Father who can do that. Amen? Yeah, it's a harder amen. Harder to acknowledge that. But it's true. We are totally dependent on the Lord for our daily provision. And as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He has promised to provide for our needs. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let your righteousness, will never let the righteous fall. Okay? So, bottom line of today's message is this. What is your need? What is your need today? What is your need before the Father this morning? Do you need is there a physical need? Is it an emotional need? Is it a spiritual need? What is it that you need from God today? You know, Jesus encourages us to pray. Father, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we can trust the Father for our daily bread. You know, because He desires to bless us. He desires to feed us. He desires to clothe us. He desires to bring peace in the middle of conflict. He desires to bring healing to damaged emotions, to physical illness, or fractured relationships. What is it that you need today? You know, there's no need too small or trivial for our Heavenly Father. We can ask Him for anything. We can ask Him for anything. Now, Richard Foster says this. He says in his book, Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. He says, by inviting us to pray for our daily bread, Jesus has transfigured the trivialities of everyday life. Try to imagine what our prayer experience would be like if He had forbidden us to ask for the little things. What if the only things we were allowed to talk about were the weighty matters, the important things, the profound issues? We'd be orphaned in the cosmos, cold and terribly alone. But the opposite is true. He welcomes us with our 1,001 trifles, for they are each important to Him. We pray for daily bread by taking to God those trifles that make up the bulk of our days. Are we unable to find a babysitter to care for the children while we're at work? Well, then we pray for daily babysitters. Do we need a little space to think things out? Well, then we pray for daily solitude and rest. Is it a warm sweater or gloves that we need because of the bitter cold? Well, we ask for clothing day by day. Are we struggling with a relationship at work or at home? We ask for patience and wisdom and compassion daily, hourly. This, he says, is how we pray for daily bread. So again, I ask you this question. What is your need today? And I encourage you to trust the Father to look after you. He loves you as one of His own. And He delights in giving good gifts to His children every single day. Amen. Amen. You know, as I close today, just the words of this hymn come to mind. Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. May that be the prayer of your heart today as you pray, Father, give me this day my daily bread. Amen.